Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to episode number 5 of The Deep Dive with James Salvis. As always, I'm your host, James Salvis, and joining me today, the long-awaited appearance of the man, the myth, the legend, Colton LeDuc. Colton, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, James?
Oh, I'm great, man. Glad to have you on the pod.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Of course. Colton, you know, last night, our Lakers played, and you know, they got a big win last night, and how do you feel about that?
I was, we're talking about the Clippers game?
Yeah.
I was excited about it.
Especially since the Clippers just got Harden.
Yeah, that was, you know, Harden didn't play.
Nope.
But their team really didn't switch up that much, because they didn't really trade any substance for Harden that much, you know, and I was glad to see it. And Lakers, we're missing Vando.
Yep, of course.
We're missing missing someone else. I mean, we only had 3 guys coming off the bench. But I liked some of the rotations. We had a crazy one. I don't know if you were watching the game, but they had a crazy one where AD was a small forward.
Yep.
And we had Jackson Hayes and Christian Wood in there playing power forward.
And was LeBron at the point guard?
Yeah.
And Reeves was the 2 guard?
Yep. And I loved it. It worked out great.
That's a great lineup.
I mean, we absorbed every single board that came anywhere.
Well, I mean, yeah, you have LeBron, who's a good rebounder in his own right, plus Anthony Davis, plus Jackson Hayes, plus Christian Wood, who is a known rebounder. Like, what? Like, no other team is going to grab a rebound with that lineup on the floor.
Oh, it was unreal.
Just have 4 guys boxing out, and one of them's going to get it.
Yeah. No, it was a fun game to watch. Especially overtime. I was losing it in overtime.
I think that Clippers team might be dangerous when Harden comes back.
I think so. I mean, you know, 2017 MVP, 2018 MVP, 2-time Finals MVP, a ton of All-Star appearances by Paul George. I mean, they're the best team on paper in the league right now, I'd say.
I would agree, but I just don't know if all those heads and that dynamic's going to work. And you know, Kawhi and Paul George are known to be injured.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if come, you know, because Kawhi's saying he's going to play all 82 games. So I could see come playoff time, it's just Harden and Westbrook back at it again like they're in Houston.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll definitely see. It's going to be interesting. I think that, you know, as much as I don't like James Harden, I think he certainly makes that Clippers team a contender.
Definitely.
As if they weren't already, but he certainly makes their chances of winning even higher.
No, definitely. And, like, one thing I noticed when I was watching him was it's a lot of ISO ball.
Sure is.
And so with Harden, they're actually going to have some playmaking, and or more playmaking than just what Russ is providing for him. And so, and I mean, Harden's an exceptional ISO ball player, too. So you have 4 guys who can all play ISO ball. I mean, that's 4 guys who could score like crazy on you.
Exactly.
That's dangerous.
And Zubac's not horrible.
No, Zubac's not bad. I kind of wish that the Lakers kept him all those years ago.
Me, too. Zubac, I liked Zubac. I thought it kind of sucked getting rid of him, personally, because you got to think, it sucked getting rid of that whole core.
Yeah. I love that young core. And, like, in the trades that they were making were just bad, too. Like, it was Zubac for Mike Muscala, I remember.
Awful trade.
And that was an awful trade because Zubac was actually playing really, really good.
He was.
And then we got Mike, and he was trash.
Awful.
He was so
absolutely
bad.
Awful.
Like, you know, we got trading away everyone. We got Anthony Davis. We got that chip. But, like, Anthony Davis really hasn't stayed healthy. Not so much of the young core has stayed healthy, too. I mean, I love Lonzo Ball, but he's injured a lot.
He is.
Brandon Ingram's been injured. I mean, I understand why we traded him, because he had the blood clot issue.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of looking forward into the future. He could have been shaky.
Exactly.
Josh Hart, I love. Great rebounding guard.
He is. The Knicks are very, very lucky to have a guy like Josh Hart. I think he fits well with that Knicks core. You know, he's a, like you said, a good rebounding guard, a physical guard. He's a good defender. And he's not a horrible shooter or scorer.
No.
He can put the ball in the basket, but I would say Josh Hart's more known for his defense.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, he's, yeah, phenomenal defender. And he'll get you, you know, 10 to 15 points a night.
Absolutely.
Easily. Like, he's a, just such a solid role player, and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he definitely knows how to play a role. And, I mean, he's, I guess you would consider him a veteran in the league now. He's been in the league for, what, 6, 7 years?
Yeah, that's true. 2017, like, I think, right?
Yeah, I guess you would consider him a veteran in the league. Came in the same time as Lonzo, so.
Yeah.
You know, that, and, you know, Kuzma's another guy that I felt like got too much hate for no reason when he was on the Lakers. I just, for whatever reason, I felt like he got too much hate, and I don't know why.
No, I agree with you. I think, yeah, I think, and his role was constantly changing with the Lakers, too, because it was, and I think that's why he got the hate, because he, you know, he's a power forward.
Yeah.
And then whenever Anthony Davis came in, we had LeBron, who can play the power forward. We had Anthony Davis, power forward, and we had Kyle Kuzma, power forward. And so that kind of shafted Kuz a little bit, and then they were asking him to play, like, shooting guard.
Yeah.
And he was just all over the map because he had no set-in-stone position.
He got a ring, though.
He did get a ring.
He did, I'm in happy fact, get a him. Ring. And I'm actually happy to see Kuz in Washington playing well.
Yeah, me too. I think Washington's a good place for him. He can do his thing.
And yeah, he can be Kuz.
Yeah, and, you know, with Jordan Poole, like, give them a couple years to solidify. I think that they could, you know, I don't think that they'll be contenders without another piece and a solid
But they might crew, they might but. Sneak into a playoff spot, potentially.
Exactly, they might.
The East is pretty, I mean, is kind of wide open other than really the Celtics. I mean, you want to talk about a good team, Colton. Look at that Celtics team. They are filthy. They beat the brakes off the Pacers the other night.
I could not, you know, and my first thought was, I was like, how the hell did they do that with Tyrese Haliburton? He didn't play.
Nope.
Tyrese didn't play. So, I mean, that was, but I mean, I'm really not sure how much of a, I love Tyrese Haliburton. I'm not sure how much of an impact he would have had with, I mean, they just have, I know we talked about how good the Clippers are on paper, but honestly, that Celtics team, that big four that they have, is just as filthy. Because they play defense, too.
It is, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
You know, they're just unreal.
They are. I really think that they got to be the favorites. There's no chance that they're not.
I really think that they are. Like,
in my opinion, I think, you know, I've talked about this. I think Porzingis was a huge ad for them. I think Porzingis was the missing piece for the Celtics because they had everything else. You know, they had a good shooting guard. They had, you know, good position. They just needed a good scoring center who could play defense.
Yeah.
And Porzingis is a good scoring center. He can put the ball in the basket. He can shoot. And he's 7'3".
Yeah.
He's going to block shots and grab every rebound. Like,
exactly. I wasn't sure about him whenever they first got him because Porzingis has his injury history.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I was like, yeah, I really don't think that's what they needed. And then they got rid of Smart, which I thought was awful. But then they replaced Smart with Holiday,
who is arguably just as good defensively and a better scorer.
Exactly. So I was like, once they brought Holiday into the equation, I was kind of like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is going to be crazy.
Yeah, for real.
And it has been.
It's been absolutely insane. And, you know, I gave Joe Mazzulla a lot of flack last year, you know, for having, you know, such a great season, and then they couldn't, you know, pull it off by getting to the finals last year. I mean, I thought the Celtics were the favorites to win it all last year. I think they are again this year. And people know, they're like, James, you know, you're not a Celtics fan? I mean, I am still a Celtics fan. I do still like the Celtics, which it's kind of hard when you're a Lakers, you know, not really. I shouldn't really call myself a Lakers fan.
Uh-huh.
I'm a LeBron fan.
Yeah.
But he's on the Lakers. So I want the Lakers to do well. And it's tough because I've always been like wherever LeBron is in the Celtics. And when LeBron retires, I'm probably just going to be a Celtics fan.
It's funny because, you know, LeBron's the Celtics' dad.
He is.
So, you know, I don't know many Celtics fans who don't hate LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. I know a lot of Celtics fans that hate him.
Yeah.
Because he owns the Celtics the way Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears.
Yep.
It's just incredible. Like, LeBron is the guy who made me love basketball growing up, so he's like the first like big superstar I ever remember seeing play on TV, so like since then I've loved him. So since then I've loved him. You know, he's been he made me love basketball.
Oh, I mean he's one of the best players to ever play.
Absolutely.
If he's not the best.
He's the GOAT in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people say, you know, they can say what they want. You know, the defense was obviously better when Jordan played and stuff like that. But it's so hard to tell, you know, and compare things across eras. Like, you can't say that Jordan wouldn't have adapted to this era or LeBron wouldn't have adapted to that era. Or it's like another thing when people say Larry Bird wouldn't have dominated today's game. Yes, he would have.
Exactly.
He would be an MVP in today's game still.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at Luka Doncic. He's the closest thing we have to Larry Bird in the modern day. An unathletic white guard, an unathletic white, like, guard forward who, you know, can shoot.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, no, there's, to be in the GOAT position, you have to be able to play in any era. And, you know, LeBron fits that bill. Jordan fits that bill. Kareem, he fits that bill. You know, like,
yeah.
All of these guys, like,
Shaq, I think, could fit that bill.
100%. I love Shaq.
Shaq's one of my all-time favorites.
Shaq's the reason I like basketball. And, like, that dude was filthy.
Shaq in his prime, like, that's why I have Shaq in my top five for greatest players ever.
Yeah, no, he's definitely – oh, no, I have a hard time doing my top five, but he's definitely
it is hard.
My top – he's in my top 10. I know
yeah.
at least 10 guys who I'm like, okay, these guys are better than everyone else.
Yeah, and Shaq's definitely one of those guys.
100%.
Like, people don't understand. Shaq in his prime was the most dominant center of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Of all time. How are you guarding somebody that's 7'1", 325 pounds, and moves like a guard?
He was unreal. I saw some video, actually, of him the other day talking about how much he weighed.
Yeah.
Well, he was on the Lakers, and I think he said he got up to 415.
Yeah, but it was muscle.
It was all muscle. That dude was all there.
He was.
Like,
imagine trying to post up a guy who's 7'1" and 415 pounds.
You're not.
You're not moving him.
Yeah.
Did you see Shaq's biceps, too? He was ripped. Shaq was jacked.
He's unreal.
Absolutely unreal. And to be able to move the way he did, like, he moved like a guard. He got up and down the floor so quick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he could dunk, get a dunk at one end, go back and pin block it at the other end, and boom, you're going back the other way.
Mm-hmm. No, there's nothing you could do about him.
It's like, I remember, and Shaq was just a funny guy on the mic, too. I remember the guy interviewing him after one of the Lakers games. Shaq's like, you know, he's like, we got fans coming out here. They pay good people to come, you know, he's like, they pay good money to come watch us play, and the refs are out here trying to take over the fucking game. And the guy's like, Shaq, we're live. And he's like, I don't give a shit. And that's why, like, a lot of people call me crazy for this, but I hate load management in the NBA. I hate it.
Completely agree.
Because, like, and Shaq put it the best. He's like, a lot of people can only afford to maybe go to one NBA game a year, if that.
Yeah.
Maybe if ever. Can only afford to go to one NBA game. And he's like, they're going to see their favorite player play and to see their super, like, you know, whatever star they like play. And so if you sit out, you're doing a disservice to the fans and the people that spend, you know, $200 on tickets to come see them play and they sit out.
Yeah. Like, you know, and Kawhi's famous for the load management thing. If I was a Kawhi fan and I showed up at a game at, like, I mean, he was doing it back in San Antonio. If I showed up to any game that he ever played on any team, and that dude just, like, was sitting out, I would not be a Kawhi fan anymore. I'd be pissed. Like, that it would just aggravate me so much.
Absolutely. You know, I think that having people like Kawhi, it's a bad look for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily a bad look for basketball, but it's like why would you intentionally sit out? You are paid millions of dollars to play basketball.
Ugh.
Like, why are you sitting out when you're not injured?
Exactly.
Like people give me a hard time because for a long time, LeBron was just rock steady, you know, playing 82 games a year, not getting hurt, you know. And people were like, oh, well, LeBron sits out. And I'm like, LeBron doesn't sit out typically unless he's injured.
Right. And the dude's like
39 years old almost. Yeah,
he's not, no one, I think there's very little people who have played NBA basketball with the basketball mileage on their body that LeBron has.
I don't think that there's very many people ever that have. You're not going to see somebody who plays 20 years of NBA basketball, beats their body up for as long as LeBron has, and still being able to be a top 15 player in the league at 38 years old.
Exactly.
Maybe even a top 10 player. Because people don't understand. When LeBron is playing well, he's still that guy.
Yeah. And even when he's not playing well, he's still better than any role player out there.
He is.
Like,
because people don't understand, LeBron is an incredible passer.
Yeah.
He's an incredible passer, has insane vision and IQ. He's a great rebounder. And LeBron, at times, is a good defender.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good defender when he wants to be.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much, like, in a big situation and you need to stop, LeBron will be that guy. But
yeah, exactly. Like, and I noticed this in 2020, he kind of reserves that for the playoffs.
Yeah, pretty much. But LeBron doesn't need to play defense. He has, you know, Austin Reeves isn't a horrible defender.
No.
Anthony Davis is a good defender. You know, he's got other guys out there that are going to block the shots and stop the guys. LeBron's just there to kind of clean up the glass here and there when he needs to. And
exactly. He's an old guy. He's got to take it.
He does. LeBron's also resulted, you see, to shooting the ball a lot more.
Yeah.
Shoots a lot more threes than he used to.
Yeah, that's always a funny one for me to watch.
Yeah. But the thing is people used to say, I hated when people used to say, oh, LeBron's not a good shooter. LeBron is a good shooter.
I was going
to
say,
he just doesn't need to.
Yeah.
Like, in his prime, he didn't need to. Why would he shoot when he could just dribble to the rim and dunk every play?
Yeah, and you know you're going to make a dunk.
Exactly.
A LeBron dunk is getting sealed every single time.
I'm pretty sure LeBron's dunk, like, there was some crazy stat on it. I'm pretty sure LeBron's only been blocked trying to dunk, like, 20 times in his career.
That wouldn't surprise me.
And it's insane. How do you, like, this guy's almost guaranteed to finish the dunk when he drives into the paint. And mind you, he still does, but it's like you said, LeBron's got a lot of mileage on his body, and he's trying to stay healthy as much as he can, especially with as old as he is. His body just can't take the physical beating that it could take when he was 25.
Yeah. No, yeah, he's a freak of nature.
He is. He's absolutely unreal. He's got to be on the same thing Tom Brady's on.
Oh, 100%.
Being able to play that long and put your body through that much
and
just be able to play, it's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
So, Colton, I kind of talked about this with some of the other guys in one of the episodes of my podcast. Who is the team that you think is going to be the most surprising in each conference? Like, who do you think it's going to surprise the most people in each conference?
You know, that's a good question. For the East, I would probably have to go with I know Indiana just got blown out the other day.
Yep.
But I think if Turner can step it up a little bit.
Yep.
I think Tyrese Haliburton is phenomenal.
He is a very good player.
And I think if, like, the other guys around him can step it up, I think that they could be really good. And, like, if they could get, like, you know, maybe one more piece.
Yeah.
That would be huge for them.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that Pacers team is going to be a little better than people think. But my pick for the East, I kind of said this, I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to surprise some people. You know, if Cam Johnson can get back and be healthy – Cam Johnson's really good. You know, they have Mikal Bridges, who's nasty. Cam Thomas, when he feels like it.
Ben Simmons this year.
Ben Simmons has played well. If he can just embrace the Draymond Green role, I think he'll be fine.
I completely agree. I mean, like, you know, and this is a guy who should have, in my opinion, he should have won a Defensive Player of the Year over Giannis a couple years back. And, like, yeah, like, he defensively, he's amazing. And if he could average, a triple-double of all 10s or something, you know?
Easily. Like, he could average 10, 10, and 10.
Yeah, and if he could do that, I mean, that would be huge for that team.
The thing that gets me about Ben Simmons, too, is, like, you know, I used to not like Ben Simmons that much. I always thought he was a little overrated, personally.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, it's like, how are you going to call somebody a superstar when he's afraid to shoot a jump shot? Like, he genuinely gets open jump shots and just looks like he doesn't know what to do with the basketball.
Yeah.
Like, he can only score from, like, 10 feet and in. Maybe if he's lucky, hit a free throw here and there. But he's not a good shooter. He's, like, and he gets looks. He just doesn't shoot the ball. It's like, how are you an NBA player and you're scared to shoot the ball? Like, Ben Simmons at times would actively, like, you've seen videos of him just getting to the rim and just passing the ball to his teammates, like, just doing anything not to score.
I mean, there's that famous one. It was what ended his career in
Philly.
Philly was the one where he passed up the dunk against the Hawks.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it, I don't know, I was, for me, I was a huge Ben Simmons fan because I'm a big fan of, like, I could care less about three-pointers. I love a defensive guy, and I love people who dunk. I think dunking's, like, the coolest part of the game.
Well, yeah, I think that's a cool part of the game. Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, but, yeah.
Like, there's no doubt that Ben Simmons is an excellent defensive player. But I just need somebody who can score more than 15 points a game.
No, and I agree with you. That's like, yeah, I really liked watching him play, but I was always kind of hoping, like, I don't know what his career high is, but it's not big.
No.
Is it in the 30s?
It might be 30, or in the 30s, but
yeah,
it's not anything, like, crazy, like LeBron, who had, like, you know, 61 or something.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, like, I know he's never scored 40.
No, I don't think he's been close.
You know, like, superstars, they should be at least able to get 40.
At least once in their career. Yeah,
exactly. Like, you know, you could be predominantly a...
Like, hell, Harden was averaging 35 at one time. Averaging 35. I don't know if Ben Simmons has scored more than 30 maybe a couple of times in his career.
I'm going to look this up because
I can't remember a time where he scored 40 if he did.
Yeah,
it's got to be so hard, too, when you can't shoot threes. You know what I mean? When you can't knock down at least a couple threes a game, it's got to be hard to put up that many points.
Exactly.
When teams just pick up on the fact, like, oh, he's just going to drive and dunk. Or drive and get a layup.
Okay. So, this will surprise both of us. So, it was when he was in Philly. But, I think it was that last season in Philly.
Yep.
He had a career high of 42 points.
42.
Yeah, let's see
that's
if I can
nuts.
Find the whole stat line on that. He's had 30, 31 a few times.
Yeah, but still, other than that 42-point game, like, nothing really crazy.
Right,
probably,
yeah.
Like, he peaks at, like, the low to mid-20s. Like, for points in a game. You're not going to really get anything more than maybe 15 to 18 points average production out of him in terms of points.
Exactly. But I think, you know, if he could. Oh, yeah, he had 12 assists and 9 rebounds to go with it, it looks like, maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if he could. If he could figure out a way to get to average 20 and then still get, like, you know, he doesn't even have to average 10 and 10, but, like, if he could do, like, 28 and 8,
yeah,
that would be perfect for him.
It would be. And you know, I think not only that, but, like, if he could just develop some kind of a jump shot.
Yeah.
Like, in my opinion, in today's NBA, you have to be able to shoot the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at Jokic. You got to shoot. Luka shoots. LeBron shoots. Anthony Davis shoots. Like, you got to have guys that, like, you know, I think to be really successful in the NBA, you have to be able to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
At least a little bit. Like, not, like, completely successful, because obviously, you know, there's guys that are you just put out there to play defense. But Ben Simmons, at times, has got the ball a lot, and they've given him the ball and expected him to score. And so when you have somebody like that, I feel like you have to be able to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron has adapted to today's game where he's like, oh, shit, I can't drive anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to be able to shoot the ball a little bit more. And so LeBron's actually turned into a pretty decent three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Just because he's had to shoot more. He actually, back to LeBron for a minute, he actually said the biggest, like, regret he has in his career is not being a good free throw shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's just the one part of my game that I just could never master, like, being good at. He's like, I could do everything else. He's like, I could score at the rim. I could shoot threes. I could rebound. I could pass. He's like, I could play defense. I could do everything but shoot free throws, like, at a consistently high clip.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been better in recent years, but, like,
oh yeah,
you remember there's times where LeBron couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat from the free throw line. I mean, exactly. I think LeBron's like a 72% free throw shooter.
Something like that.
Which isn't awful, but, like, it's not great.
I was going to say, but for arguably the best player of all time, it's not great.
No.
I mean, like, I'm surprised more teams didn't play, like, do, like, Hack-a-Shaq on him.
Yeah.
Like, crazy. But that's because, yeah, I mean, he was probably going to score it anyway, so then you're just giving him an and-one.
Yeah.
You know, but...
And LeBron's not so bad of a free throw shooter that he can't make one like Shaq.
Exactly.
The thing about LeBron is, though, like, LeBron's known for being clutch. Mm-hmm. And so he hits free throws when his team needs him.
Yeah.
Like, when you need LeBron to make a bucket, like, to make a basket, he'll make the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether it's a three, whether it's a dunk, free throws, like, if you need LeBron to hit a free throw, he will hit the free throws.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good clutch shooter and performer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, LeBron has that one move, you know what I'm talking about? That one little, it's unguardable.
And I don't know how it's unguardable because, I mean, it's the exact same move every single time.
It is.
And he just kind of...
He's been doing it for years.
He looks at you, and then he just...
Shoots.
Like, he just pulls it back and shoots.
He just, like, he has his back turned to you, and then he'll just, like, pull it back and shoot.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know it's coming, but you can't guard it.
Yeah.
Like, nobody in the league can stop that move. LeBron, he just pulls back and shoots. And you know what he's going to do. He pulls the ball back and shoots a three. That's what he's going to do. Or a mid-range, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When he pulls it back like that, he's taking a jump shot.
Exactly. Every single time. And, like...
They just can't guard it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that move stopped. Like, I don't think I've seen that move blocked ever.
I really don't think LeBron. I have either.
Like, it's literally, like... But it looks like just such a simple move. Because I saw something about it on Instagram the other day, and it's like, the fact that LeBron has one of the most simple moves of all time, but you know it's, like, the best move in the league, like, it's the most unguardable move in the league, is just crazy. Like, it's nuts. Colton, you know, we'll change gears a little bit here.
All right.
I was talking to you about, you know, PA, you know, my high school being in the soccer championship tonight. You know all about, you know, coming from, you know, Vermont and, you know, what high school rivalries are like. What was it like growing up in the Upper Valley?
Oh, it was crazy. It's funny because our biggest rival was South Royalton.
Oh, yeah.
Back when it was South Royalton.
Yeah.
And...
No, I remember when they were in school.
It was always funny because, like, one of my close buddies, actually, he lived up the road from me, and I would drop him off sometimes at school whenever he needed a ride at South Royalton.
Yep.
On my way in. And, like, you know, all the kids were always really chill, but whenever it came time to play sports, it was a grudge match.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and, you know, they thought they were way better than us. We kicked their ass a lot. You know.
Exactly.
Like, I want to say maybe senior year, we split with them in soccer. Basketball, I mean, we went 24-0 that year. We killed them.
Won the championship, yeah.
And They have a phenomenal baseball program over there.
They do. South Royalton was known for being good at baseball.
Yeah, they were filthy, and we had started up our program from scratch my freshman year. So like it's funny. I was actually looking at my baseball stats last night, and we lost to them pretty handily.
Yeah,
twice my senior year, but yeah, it was. God, I mean. It was a I mean, it was D4, but it was a rivalry. It was.
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone knew that Sharon and South Royalton were going at it.
Everybody was there. You know, it's a must-watch game.
Oh yeah, everyone showed up, and you know, the South Royalton only thought that they were better because they're a public school. I mean, everyone was going to Sharon on a free ride through town tuitions or whatever. But yeah. Like. There was that private school stigma.
Absolutely. And,
you know, I remember I had friends who were like, they're like, I can't believe you go up there. Like, South Royalton's way better. You should transfer. And
yeah, just, it's crazy. Like, speaking of rivalries, like I told you tonight, Peoples is in the soccer championship against Stowe, who, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people will back it up, that's the best rivalry in high school soccer in the state,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, People's Academy and Stowe have been at each other's necks for 40 years.
Yeah.
Or more, maybe. Like, but definitely within the last, like, 15 to 20, where it got big. Because PA and Stowe have always been the two best teams in Division III.
Yeah.
For soccer. And they both play a primary D2 schedule and beat D2 teams. Like, some of the best teams like in Division II in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's why they're so competitive in the playoffs, and that's why they can just steamroll through to championships. And like I said, if PA wins tonight, that'll be 3 and 4 years for PA. So they're starting to put together a nice dynasty, and it would be nice to stick it to Stowe.
Oh, definitely.
And not only would it be nice to beat, not only, it's always nice to beat them, but to beat them for a state championship after all they put us through for years. After losing our last three times against Stowe in the championship,
mm-hmm.
or last two times, because 2013 we lost to him in the championship, and then my sophomore year of high school, we lost to Stowe in the championship. So, and we knocked Stowe off in the semis last year.
Really?
Yeah. Knocked Stowe off. First time we've beaten Stowe in 5 years.
No kidding.
Last year.
That's wild.
First time in like 5 or 6 years. So, but it's always a close game. You know, it's a big rivalry game. It's usually always a one-goal game.
Mm-hmm.
Like they beat us, like if they beat us, it's by a goal usually. So, you know, it's always a really close game with them. So tonight it should be a good one down at South Burlington.
Yeah.
So, and high school rivalries, you know, that's one thing I live for. You know, we have for basketball, I mean, we're still rivals with Stowe, but I mean, they stink at basketball. So, and then, you know, Lamoille and Hazen are huge rivals with PA, huge rivals. Lamoille and PA, I don't recall very many times when I was in high school, and maybe even a little before that, where PA and Lamoille played, and it was more than a 5-point game.
Really?
I don't recall many games where it was ever more than a 5-point game. Yeah, PA usually came out on top, but it was always a really, really good game.
Mm-hmm.
And we always play Lamoille twice just because they're 5 minutes away.
Yep.
You know, 5 minutes away in Hyde Park, and then Stowe is, you know, not far away. And then we play Hazen in Hardwick. Hazen's a longtime rival. We've played the Hazen PA rivalry dates back to 1912.
Really?
That's when it started. And Aaron Hill, the head coach at Hazen, has stats like of the all-time record. And I think Hazen's up by like 15.
No in their way.
All-time rivalry. I think they're up like 130 something to like 118 or 120 something.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it's been pretty close throughout the years. There was a time, you know, back in the 70s and 80s where PA was the team to beat.
Yeah.
And, you know, in D3. And then the tables flipped, you know, 99-2000, Hazen won the championship. And then since then, Hazen's been dominant in the division. They've won 5 championships since then. They've won, I mean, they've been to the odd 16 times.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember, I think that year that we won the chip, 2018, I want to say Hazen was.
They lost in the championship that year.
Yeah, I knew that they were playing.
They lost to Williamstown.
Yes.
That's a huge rivalry too. Hazen and Williamstown hate each other.
Yeah.
I remember I went to that game actually when Hazen lost.
No kidding.
I was at the game, yeah. And because Hazen had won the year before.
Yeah.
So Lamoille or Williamstown had won four straight.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hazen knocked him off when I was in eighth grade. And then Hazen knocked him off in 15, 16. So then 17, 18, which was my freshman year. Yes. No, sophomore year. Because 16, 17 was my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
So 17, 18, my sophomore year. Or 16, 17, sorry. Hazen lost in the championship. Because they played back-to-back years against Williamstown. So they won it in 15-16, and then I was at the game 16-17, and Williamstown beat Hazen by, like, 10. And then I remember the Williamstown student section had signs, like, and aimed it at the Hazen student section, and it said, "Aren't y'all cousins anyways?" And it was some of the most wild shit that I've ever seen in my life. Like, just seeing signs like that. But it's like, that's how it was. With those teams. Like, they hated each other.
I was going to say.
Not just the players, but, like, the students genuinely just hated each other.
Yeah. I remember we were pretty far from – we played Danville that year in the finals.
They were good.
They were good. They were a good team.
Beat us twice that year.
Really?
I think so. PA, that was – what year was that, 17, 18, your senior year?
17, 18, yeah.
Yeah, CPA, we went 17-3 that year.
Really?
One of the best – I think the best record in school history. We went 17-3. Because we lost the first game of the year to Harwood, then we won 15 in a row,
mm-hmm.
and then lost twice to Danville.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were a good team.
They were.
And, you know, we were a good team too, and I think they had lost a couple of – they had lost a couple of games, but they had a what everyone thought was a harder schedule than what we had.
Yeah.
And we were undefeated, and I just remember that student section was – absolutely nuts.
Electric.
It was electric. And, you know, Danville had signs that were saying that we were overrated and all that. They were chanting overrated at us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was absolutely nuts to be, you know, especially being that this is D4. This is the lowest level of basketball you can get at the high school level.
Maybe in the whole nation.
In the whole nation, maybe, you know. And we're getting overrated chanted at us. You know, like, seriously? But it was a close game, too. I think it was, like, maybe, like, 56-52 or something. I mean, it came down to the wire.
Oh, yeah.
It was close.
It was a good game, I remember.
Yeah.
And you guys won to cap off the undefeated season and win it all.
Yeah.
And this is another thing I want to touch on. You know, I have a lot of guys on the team here don't appreciate this the way we would,
mm-hmm.
probably, but I think the Berryod is such a nostalgic place. And I think it's such just a great place to watch a basketball game.
It really is. There's something magical about being in the odd.
There is. Like, and people like Isaac and some of the guys, they just think it's just some – just dumpy basketball gym.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but you're not from Vermont. You don't understand what this means. Like, being in the odd is nostalgic to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know. I just don't get that feeling in any other gym that I'm in, ever. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm watching a game at the odd, when your team's playing at the odd, like, you just don't get that feeling anywhere else. And I've been to... You know, I've been to UVM games. I've been mm-hmm. to – I've been to D1 college games. You know, I go to a lot of college – you know, because I'm on the team here. You know, I travel to a bunch of different college gyms and play a bunch of different college teams. And it's like I've never experienced a game that feels as like – just – I can't even explain it. But you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, dude.
How it just feels to watch a game at the odd.
The odd is just so unreal. Like, there's so much history in that building.
There is.
It's the coolest thing out of – if you're a Vermont basketball player, going to the odd is maybe the best thing that you could do. Like, it's so special.
It's just – you know, it's – I think, like you just said, the highest accomplishment, at least, you know, for D2, D3, and D4,
mm-hmm.
who play at the odd.
Yeah.
I think it's the highest, like, accomplishment you can achieve. And I know, like, PA made it to the odd my junior and senior year, and – my friends that played and, you know, me being at those games and just watching it in that atmosphere, it was like, this is like nothing I've ever experienced or felt
mm-hmm.
in my life. Like, and they said, like, you know, it's by far the highlight of my career is getting to step foot on the floor at the Barriade and getting to play basketball. Is, you know, it was a very emotional time my junior year, because we were down 15 to Windsor at halftime. They were the defending champs, and we came back and beat them in overtime. We came back and beat them in overtime, beat them by like 10 in overtime, yeah. And we beat them like 79 to 69 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, and so we all stormed the court when the buzzer went off. And I think I cried from the moment the buzzer went off till I like got home, because it was more special to us, I think, because when we went my junior year, that was the first time PA had been to the Odd in 22 years.
Oh, wow.
So we finally got the monkey off our back and finally got a chance, like, hey, you know, we can go get a shot at a championship now. Like,
yeah.
We have our chance finally to go play for a championship and get to achieve, you know, I remember just talking to people that night, and, you know, me and all the guys on the team were just bawling our eyes out with tears of joy, and just giving those guys hugs after the game, you know, kids I've known my whole life that, you know, and we all said we made a lifelong dream come true.
Yeah.
When, you know, we knew when we got to high school, you know, coming up through middle school, we were always really, really good. And we knew when we got to high school, like, our goal was to, you know, win a championship, obviously, but it starts with getting to the Odd. And, you know, our goal was finally being able to break that curse of getting to the Odd. And we did. And it sucks, because my sophomore year, I think we had a sour taste in our mouth with how our season ended.
Yeah.
Went 17-3 and then lost in the second round of the playoffs on a surefire bet that we were a favorite to win it all.
Yeah.
So our star center got hurt, Louis Angione, tore his ACL at Lamoille in a big rivalry game. So we lost our best player, essentially, for the rest of the year. And we were still good. You know, we were still winning games, beating the breaks off teams and stuff. And we get to the playoffs. We won in the first round pretty handily. And then we play Fairfax in the second round. And Fairfax, you know, they're a physical team. They play a little dirty. They always have. And we beat them twice in the regular season. And you know how it is. It's hard to beat the same team three times.
Yeah.
Fairfax, it was a barn burner of a game. Comes down to the wire. Kid on our team chucks up some shit that he didn't need to shoot in a tie game. Fairfax throws a full court pass to a freshman.
No way.
Freshman lays it in as the buzzer goes off, and we lose by two.
Oh.
Fairfax goes to the Odd.
That's heartbreaking.
It was very heartbreaking. So I think from the guys that were on the team the previous year that were going to be on the team again next year, I think it was just kind of like, hey, like, we saw how our season ended last year. We're not going to let that happen again.
Yeah.
So then my junior year, we go to the Odd and we lose to Williamstown by 10
mm-hmm.
in a good game. But I think a lot of us were kind of nervous, you know, just never being in that atmosphere before, not having the Odd experience the way Williamstown does.
Yeah.
And then my senior year, we were, I think, a 6th seed in the division. So we had kind of a rough year. We were like 9-11 or 10-10 or something like that. We had kind of a rough year, but we beat Hazen the last game of the season.
Really?
Who was the top team in the division. And so that was huge. Mm-hmm. Actually, I got to commentate that game because they played at Hazen on my birthday.
No kidding.
And that's all I wanted was for PA to win for my birthday, and they did. So that was nice. And then we, you know, we go in the playoffs. We squeaked out a win in the first round. I think we won by like 6 or 7. I can't remember who we played. But it was a close game. And then we go to the next round. We were the 6th seed. We played third-seeded Bellows Falls at Bellows Falls. So it was a haul. But I went to the game. And we won.
No kidding.
To go back to the Odd for the second straight year, probably when everybody had counted us out.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get matched up with the 7th seed at the Odd, Thetford, who is the defending champs.
Yep.
And we were actually the home. We got to wear white at the Odd because we were the higher seed.
Uh-huh.
So that was really cool. And we come out and we shit on Thetford in the first half.
Yeah.
We were absolutely just it seemed like every shot left our hands was just nothing but net, not even touching a piece of the rim. We were making every shot we looked at.
Mm-hmm.
We were up by 20, 25 at halftime. Like, we were beating the brakes off that Ford.
Unreal.
Best game of best half of basketball we played all season, no question.
Mm-hmm.
And we get my friend Joe, who was our only captain that year, who was a senior, he said in the locker room that our head coach had told him, "Hey, guys, we got this one. We can ease off." You can't say that in any game, let alone a semifinal game against the state champions.
Yeah, you never.
The defending state champs. And so we come out in the second half, and things go from as good as they could to probably playing the worst half of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Thetford just slowly chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. And then finally, Thetford wound up beating us by three.
Ugh.
Yeah, Thetford wound up beating us by three. And that's the way it went.
Was Emerson leading that team?
Sure was.
Yep.
Alex Emerson was a senior that year. So he won back-to-back championships to end his career.
Mm-hmm.
Because Thetford went on to beat Enosburg in the championship that year. Because Enosburg beat Hazen. We had the late game. We played Thetford after Enosburg had just beat Hazen.
Yeah.
Which I was shocked to see because I commentated Hazen all season. And I'm like, this team is good.
Mm-hmm.
This team is really, really good. And then they got to the odd and they just fell apart.
Oh, man.
Enosburg picked them apart at the odd.
Really?
Yeah, Enosburg beat him by like 15.
Jesus.
They picked Hazen apart at the odd. It was I couldn't believe what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So rivalries to me are just huge in Vermont.
Yeah, it is.
Colton, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Of course, James.
Guys, this has been episode 5 of The Deep Dive with James Salvas. Colton, thanks for joining me, taking time out of your day to come here.
Thanks for having me, James. I've really appreciated it.
Of course. We'll see you guys next time.